Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 302.
No big deal.
The Dark Tower.
Yeah. It's a movie.
That's what they say.
They filmed it.
They did film
it.
That
was a thing.
Yep.
So before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. We Dan is not with us, and so the maraca is in storage, so there's no telling what sort of weird and twisted turn this could take without a maraca to correct
That's
us.
Right.
I may not even edit this.
No moral compass to guide us.
Yes, take that. Real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us tremendously. League of Show Shares, I'm not saying any of your names this week.
Sorry, buddy.
Sorry. We're recording this one early, so
why are we doing this early?
Because Kevin's getting married.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to make some salsa on Sunday, so.
Uh-huh. Don't blame this one on me. Tom's at his ninth vacation this month.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Yeah,
I'm very European that way.
It's fine.
I also don't shave my armpit hair.
Well, it's good.
Yeah.
That's a normal thing.
Oh, if you say so.
I do.
Yeah.
For men, at least.
Typically, I'm built for speed. You know?
Well, you shave your back.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Because I run away a lot.
Exactly.
Yes. When I said European, I meant French.
What was I thinking?
Yeah. No, that's not true. You would never sit in a room with me this long if I smelled like a Frenchman.
That's also true.
So
sorry to all our French listeners.
Yeah. They'll send us emails. They'll send us email complaints, but they'll be in French. So
yeah,
what do we
get? Well, actually, we hired Luc Besson, and he's going to dub this entire podcast into French. It's going to be great.
Oh,
it's going to be fine.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be all Jean Reno playing all the roles.
Gerard Depardieu.
We'll find the French Queen Latifah and Jimmy Fallon.
Well, he didn't do that movie, did he?
He did.
He produced the original one.
Yeah.
He produced Taxi.
One and two. The French versions of Taxi.
Oh.
That's like one of the biggest franchises in the history of France.
They're not comedies. They're
really?
Like action.
They're like action.
Like the Transporter?
Kind of.
Yeah. Oh.
They're that idea, yeah.
And then they brought it over here and did that to it.
They
did,
zany comedy.
Oh,
but over there, like that's a huge franchise
them.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
no, they're badass action.
All
movies.
I think is the show.
Right.
And that
Judd Hirsch.
Yes.
See,
yes.
What a confusing, you know, movie to call Taxi. So it's like not only are you
And that was during like the resurgence of like those reboots. Like it was around the time
right.
of the Brady Bunch and things like that. So it was like, all right, let's do Taxi with Jimmy.
I thought it was a reboot of DC Cab with Mr. T and Bill Maher.
Car 54, where are you?
That's a deep cut. If you had cable in the 80s, so you know what I'm talking about. So,
well, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
No.
So I saw a tweet the other day from J. Elvis Weinstein, who was the original voice of Tom Servo. He was in Titanic.
Yeah.
And he had a tweet where he said, anyone over the age of 40 has a movie that they love because of the summer they got cable.
Oh, nice.
And I was like... Eddie and the Cruisers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's I've only seen Eddie and the Cruisers 2.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So I worked at Blockbuster, obviously, for 13 years. We never had Eddie and the Cruisers. We had Eddie and the Cruisers 2.
How did you have 2 but not 1?
I have no idea. I would think
they'd be in like a 2-pack.
Tom, little secret. You want to know why Blockbuster went under?
And Eddie and the Cruisers 1.
They didn't have, but yeah, we would have, we would get weird titles where it's just like,
well, that's for sure.
Yeah, some odd, like, but like people would
like
keep
those
it.
Asylum movies that would come that's, out.
Well, like, not even that, but like people would keep movies,
right?
And then if the copy was out of print, we couldn't get another one.
Yeah,
so we were stuck with yeah. Cruisers
that
too.
But that is the way that yeah. So even though Blockbuster would charge you a ton of money, sometimes
it
you
was
could
cheaper
not,
than going and buying.
You
yeah,
get, you same get with out of print DVDs. It's like
for $50, but if it's $100,
yeah, especially when all that Disney stuff would go back in the vault, like you could then people would just be like, I just won't return Pinocchio.
So we had DVDs that we were supposed to return when we were going out. Like
yeah.
we would pull
oh,
stuff,
right.
and I just stuck them up like
your butt.
I just stuck them up.
So we had like we had a drop ceiling. And we would all hide our
Is
stuff.
Is that what you call your butt?
That's my drop ceiling. So we would, like, Peter Pan on DVD. It was supposed to send back.
Right.
And it's Peter Pan. He uses as the example.
Yeah.
It's gone. Like, that's mine now.
Stuck it right in my Tinkerbell.
Right in my Tinkerbell. But yeah, like, there were, like, the, what was the,
you
oh, a Knight's Tale.
Hooker.
If you listen quietly and attentively, you can hear Dan groaning from yeah. afar. Like,
but, like, the,
Dan's,
a Knight's
Dan's
Tale.
Like, I felt a sudden disturbance.
There's a disturbance in force. What's, I feel like,
a thousand maracas cried out.
That's all going to hell without me. But no, I have a copy of A Knight's Tale on VHS, which has the infamous Spider-Man trailer.
Oh.
And we had to, like, so.
Oh, the World Trade Center one.
Yeah, they
got gotcha.
We got those, like, a week early. With so I, you know, we take them home. 9/11 happens. They're like,
heard of it.
Send those back.
Yeah.
And they were like, sure. And I just left one out. And now I have it.
How exciting.
Yes.
Like, thanks, Blockbuster. Like, there's a Dream Theater album, same way.
Oh, really?
What?
It came out on September 11th.
That's
weird.
It
was like their Live in New York album, and it was like they had the World Trade Center, and it was like in flames.
You're talking about the event, like not a different year, but
no,
like
it came
on.
Out on 9/11/2001.
Oh my!
Because it was a Tuesday, which was release day back
yeah,
then.
Right,
but just
yeah,
happened
sure,
to
yeah.
come out.
Yeah, and and so like that goes for quite a bit of money.
I bet it does,
especially in Dubai.
Oh,
too soon.
I mean,
6 minutes 13 seconds.
Yeah,
note that point.
Yeah, people are either going to be like, "You always need to have Dan there," or
"You never have Dan there.
Don't ever have Dan there again." That's how that's. There's going to be no
one or the. There's no in between.
There's no middle ground.
No, middle.
So,
ground.
So anyway, that's why there's no League of Show Shares, because Kevin is getting married again this week. They're renewing their vows.
Yeah,
thought it was time.
Yeah,
they realize
it's nice to keep the romance alive.
Yeah, they're going to Disney World next week, so
yeah.
they have to renew their vows.
That's not till November.
All right,
keep that. Date on your calendar.
So that's why we haven't assembled a League of Show Shares yet, because you haven't had enough time. And then
we literally put the episode up today.
Yeah. So just, you know, calm down. We'll get you on the next one.
On the next,
I promise. So, but if you want to join the League of Show Shares, just go to facebook.com/realspoilers, or just type in League of Show Shares. Either one will get you to the right place eventually. So, that is all of that stuff, and we will now talk about The Dark Tower.
So why don't Joe and I have never read these books, correct?
No.
Okay, so Tom, you read these books when
I
they
read
came
them
out
a long time
like
ago,
like the '80s when it was
yeah
the first The Gunslinger was released.
Yeah, I read the first three, and then Stephen King gave an interview where he was like, you know, he's like, yeah, like, I mean, I really enjoy writing these, but it's like I write these when I feel inspired. They're not like work for hire, you know. And so if I don't feel inspired, then I don't write the next one because I want them to be perfect.
Sure.
And so, you know, I don't know if I'll ever finish them. And then I was like, well, then
why am I reading this?
Go F yourself.
Right.
Like, I mean, he's like, oh, because at the time he didn't even know how many books it was going to be. He was like,
is it done?
Yeah, it's done now.
Okay.
But
right.
he was like, 5 to 10, maybe 12 books. Like, I have no idea. And I was like, so you don't know how long it's going to be, and you don't know if you're ever going to finish it. You can go to hell.
I'm going to read these three, and I'm done.
I'm done buying these books now. And
makes
so,
sense.
And then he got hit by a car,
mm-hmm.
and I think he kind of it renewed his love affair with writing, being bedridden with nothing else to do. Probably.
Like James Caan?
I mean, that's where the inspiration
that's where that came from.
That's
right?
The inspiration yeah. for Misery is when he got hit by the car. Is, you know, I believe that was the case anyway. It would be really weird.
That
if
would
it
be
wasn't.
A weird coincidence.
Well, no, wait.
Yeah.
When did that? Or did he have a stroke?
No, he didn't have a stroke.
Mm-mm.
So I feel like the car thing is recent.
No, car thing was back in 2000.
Didn't something else happen to him though?
Almost 20 years ago or something, or.
Oh,
it was 20 years
so,
ago.
So, okay,
or
to me, that is recent.
Hang on, he was hit by a car in 99. Misery predates that.
So, yeah, Misery's like
oh.
in the 80s.
Yeah,
good
that's
call
what,
on that
yeah,
one, because, yeah, the movie was around before.
The movie was like, because she won an Oscar for that, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah, but that, so that, yeah, that predates like, that, so you're right.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't even add up the dates, even though I knew that he was
Screen
the accident.
Screen Factory has a new version of that coming out soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that is weird then.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Imitating art.
Because Misery came out in 1990.
Right.
So the book inspired the car accident.
Yes. That's what it was, yes. But
you're going to write more. That was Tom, actually. He's like, you're going to finish the Dark Tower.
But he started writing more, and then he ended up cranking them out at that point, from what I understand. So, although, who knows if I know what I'm talking about now. So... You know, so I was like, I'm not going to finish these. So I read the book, but like for real, like when I read the book, I had hair. So
oh, geez.
Were they good?
Like my hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
all
it was,
of them? No, it's stringy and greasy. It's oh, probably well, okay, for the best enough. That it's gone. Yeah.
That's the look nowadays anyway, though.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. You were ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just didn't know. You had no idea.
I'm a trendsetter.
Yeah, you're a trendsetter.
As soon as
a trailblazer.
As soon as you get those what are those plugs, people are going to be like, nope, it's all bald now.
Yeah.
I'm always just out of step.
Right. Two steps behind.
I remember liking, I think the first and second one. The third one was felt a little meandering to me, maybe. But
people love these books.
Yes,
there's
they
a
do.
Huge yeah. following. A following like a nowadays Game of Thrones equivalent.
Oh, really?
I mean, the way that people just love them, you know. Obviously, it's not as big and it probably will not be anymore. But, you know, like the way people love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Not saying numbers, but they love Harry
the
Potter.
The passion.
Sure.
And people love The Dark Tower. And so from what I've heard in person, talking to some people after the screening, reading online, because I actually own all the books. Blake told me to read them. Blake loves the books, and he said you should definitely read
Who?
These. They're great. His name is Blake.
Oh.
Balake.
Right. Of course.
And he told me to get the books even before, I mean, like over a year ago.
Don't borrow his. They're covered in salsa.
Yeah.
White, sticky. I don't know why.
he really likes Stephen King.
Really likes Stephen King books.
But so I never got around to reading them, but people that have, they love these books. And from the people I've spoken with and read online, just people reactions after the screening last night, people are not happy with this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, so as a person that knows nothing about it, like that makes sense. Like if they were to take a property that I adore
and then filmed a Cliff Notes version of it,
yeah, like I could get that. Like
well,
as a non-fan, it's just like, all right, it was a mess, but it was fine.
But this is from what I understand, this is a sequel, a retelling, a remake, a reboot, a like. You can't even put your finger on what this is because this...
Like somebody said it was like inspired by...
Yeah.
Well, because it was like they tried to incorporate, from what I do remember of the books, it was like they were incorporating aspects of like multiple books.
Every book.
Into one very, very short movie.
Very short
movie.
And
it's really like, and it's like, I understood that back when Hollywood wasn't building films to be multi-film
franchises.
You know what I mean? They were always like, well, maybe we'll get a sequel, but if we don't, let's try and have... check a lot of boxes, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not what they're doing. This one went into things saying, oh, we're going to make a bunch of these movies. There's going to be a companion television show.
Yeah. And but is the television show a Dark Tower show, or is it based like...
It's
a prequel.
Isn't there another Stephen King show that's kind of like based in this town that is not part of the... Like, I feel like I remember them talking about there's it's either on Hulu or Amazon.
Oh, you're not talking about that James Franco one.
You're talking about 1963, November 22nd, 1963?
No, I think there's another one that's kind of like... This town is the center of all of his books.
Stranger Things,
which is great. I cannot wait for season two.
I don't know.
Okay,
but no, like the TV show was supposed to be. I say was because I don't think they're gonna make it after this piece of.
Apparently this is something Ron Howard is working on.
Yeah,
and he has a producer's
Kevin,
credit
that's
on
called
this.
Star Wars.
And his name was in the credits, so I guess he was developing this.
Imagine has a credit at the beginning, which is his company.
But he was developing this, and people thought he was going to direct it, and then he...
And then he went a different direction, no pun intended. And so, and then it started to change hands, and then it got really messed up.
Changed hands creatively, or
yes.
Changed hands through studios?
I think kind of a little bit of, not studios, but production companies.
Okay.
And so, so the TV show is supposed to be based largely on... I think the
Gunslinger.
Fourth book, Wizard in Glass, which tells the origin story of the Gunslinger.
Which I feel like, I mean, when you cast Idris Elba,
but it won't star Idris Elba.
Well, then to hell with it.
Yeah. And so he will be in it. I think the intention was he would be in it in framing sequences.
Okay. Like bookends?
Yeah.
Okay. And, which, all right. Nah, it's fine. Yeah. I mean, if he's a younger dude, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. I mean, if they're going to tell the story of, you know, he looks in this movie to be, what, 40.
Yeah.
So if he's supposed to be, you know, 20, then yeah, cast a different actor.
That's fine.
Know?
That's
fine. That's not weird, but
pay for that de-aging technology.
Yeah. Somebody's got to. So, yeah, this was just like a weird Cliff Notes version of it.
It felt very abbreviated.
So from what I understand, I was doing some reading, and it basically, like I was mentioning before, it uses elements from all of the books, but it doesn't use the same characters and storylines. So like, it's mainly based on the first book, but then they incorporate things from all the books. But then this is
in
also
this movie.
Yeah, but then it's also supposed to be a sequel or take place after the books are over as well, because apparently Roland goes on these journeys over and over again. It's the same.
He's trapped in a loop.
Yeah, it's like he does it this way, and then he does it again, and things are a little different. But apparently, right. So this is like another, from my understanding, again, I haven't read them, but this is another version of this same story where there's always the same characters. I guess I played the game Bioshock Infinite. Did you play
Bioshock?
Okay, great game.
But kind of like Live, Die, Repeat in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So in Bioshock Infinite, there's something similar with the main character is reliving a different tale. I guess spoilers on the 5-year-old game, but you know, so it's like that where it's like, oh wow, there's always this character and always this person. Because
are you saying there's like different realities?
It's like it just keeps rebooting basically or something. So he has this horn of Eld, and I guess he doesn't start off with that in the first book, and maybe they introduce it much later on, but in the movie, and they never mention it, so people are mad because they don't even talk about it or anything, but he already has this horn, and I guess you get that when you restart your mission journey, from my understanding.
Is he also a descendant of King Arthur?
I don't know about that.
Well,
they
hinted at that because his guns were made from the metal.
Yeah,
that in our
like it was
world
Arthur that melted
would be Excalibur,
right?
They said,
right.
Yeah,
which is a real thing from the books, because that's something else Blake mentioned to me. But like, they just quickly put it in there. But like, that is a,
I feel like that's a huge plot point. That's kind of important.
You think that'd be pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. That Excalibur was melted down to make these two like Colt revolvers.
Well,
yeah,
I don't think
cool.
It's that Excalibur was. I think it's that in this world, it's kind of occupies the same place as Excalibur. Like, they don't have knights in this world. They have gunslingers.
I gotcha.
And so our gunslinger
was Arthur.
Like, has Excalibur.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I do. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
They use whatever they made Excalibur out of in our world, and his world, they used to make these guns.
Okay.
Like, the worlds are kind of mirror images of each other.
It's bizarre
but
world.
Slightly
exactly.
Twisted.
Yeah.
And like, that's why he's like, oh, there's all the, they talk about Keystone Earth. And
I think he says, I believe on Keystone Earth, you know, it is King Arthur.
King Arthur. Right. Yeah. Okay. So this movie opens up. It's pretty like, and again, it moves really quick.
This is already why people are mad, because it doesn't start the way the first book starts. And Stephen King said in an interview that he believed they were going to start the same way as the book. And a lot of people say that the way that he starts that book is one of the best ways a book has ever started. And it's something like the man in black flees through the desert and the gunslinger
and
follows.
And the gunslinger follows him. Follows
that's,
or something
that's
like
his life.
They use the line in the movie.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. Don't you remember? Like, one of those where all sorts of dialogue is like kind of being artistically whispered. And they're like, you know, the man in black flees and the gunslinger follows through the desert or something like that.
Yeah. So like, people were mad it didn't start like that. And even King said he thought they were going to start like that. But the other thing that flips the script is that the books are about the gunslinger.
Right.
And Jake, is it Jake the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a character.
Chambers.
He's a character, but this movie makes Jake the main character instead of the gunslinger.
I think that was a problem.
Yeah.
For me.
I was having trouble remembering, because I remember reading The Talesman, and The Talesman kind of crosses over, and there's elements of The Dark Tower and The Talesman, if memory serves.
What's
like
the Talesman?
It's a book he wrote with Peter Straub.
Okay.
Who's probably most famous for writing the book Ghost Story, and it was turned into a movie. It was, I believe it was Fred Astaire's last film.
Okay.
And from what I understand, the way they wrote the book is each one wrote a chapter.
Okay.
And so, like, Stephen King would write a chapter and send it to Peter Straub, and then Peter Straub would write the next chapter.
Would they know what they were, like, would the other,
no,
would they write them into a corner?
I kind of.
So they did that on Daredevil.
Okay.
Like, when Bendis was on Daredevil,
yeah,
he he knew he was leaving, and he knew Ed Brubaker was taking over, and he left him in a position where Brubaker was like, I have no idea what to do with that.
Right.
And then when Brubaker was leaving, Andy Diggle was taking over, and Diggle's just like, all right, I guess I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But they would, do that
just
to each other.
Do that chapter to chapter. And so, and I remember reading Talesmen that like there's elements where there's a tower, and they're like, it seemed like there, I can't remember if they were sufficiently supposed to tie it together or not.
Well, the Dark Tower is apparently what ties together all Stephen King's books.
Because
they all
make any
exist
sense,
in different
right?
parallel universes. Like, this is what connects all his.
Like, so are you telling me that Stand By Me is connected to Carrie?
Yes.
I guess it's
really?
It's in one of these parallel.
I'm not for sure those two are connected, but yes. So, like, if you read the Stephen King books, you will see characters pop up in other books. And so, like.
Even the short stuff?
That I'm not so sure about. Okay. But like, in November 22nd, 1963, the character is traveling back in time.
Is this James Franco thing?
It's the James, don't watch that, read the book. The book's amazing.
Okay.
Like the main character that James Franco plays, he goes to Derry, Maine and ends up interacting with the kids from It. And then like Dead Zone.
Yeah.
In Dead Zone, they make a reference to like the next town over. There was a girl that killed everybody in her high school, which is Carrie.
Did they reference that in the movie too?
I don't remember. But
movie,
The Dead Zone. Sorry, Christopher Walken.
Yeah, I saw The Dead Zone on the last time I saw The Dead Zone. It was on VHS.
It's a good flick.
Like that's
still
how long
good,
it's
still
been.
Still a creepy movie.
Yeah. And then I know that. Let's see. I feel like The Shining references something, and I think
Dr. Sleep, I know for sure does.
Well, that's a sequel to The Shining.
Right.
And I know that I think is it Tommyknockers where there's a story about this like black nightclub that gets burned down or something. And like the, one of the guys that's at that nightclub is the caretaker from The Shining.
Oh, wow.
And so like, all these books,
Hong Kong Fui.
Yeah,
Hong Kong Fui. Yeah. Where's Dan when
you
need him?
Yeah, all these kind of tie together.
I guess I always thought that like Cujo was its own thing, but
and Cujo gets referenced because I remember. Is it in Firestarter that they reference Cujo? But like Cujo, I remember reading a book where Cujo got referenced, where they were like, "Oh, that's
a shared universe."
I mean, he really kind of invented a shared. The I mean,
what's the town you said in Maine?
Derry. It takes place in Derry.
That's the town in the show that I'm thinking of. Like it's all based in this town.
Because Needful Things was supposed to be like the last book set in Derry, Maine. I believe that's how that was supposed to work.
Not Erie, Indiana.
No. Yeah. Or Gary and
Or Gary. Yeah.
Now you're getting back to Ron Howard. Yeah. Who sang the song.
That's how we do it.
And the Music Man.
Bring it all back.
It's a giant shared universe. When you're reading the books, it was really cool. Like all of a sudden they'd start talking about a character and you're like, hey, I think that's
that was unheard of back then too, right? Like it wasn't a shared nobody did a shared universe.
I remember when I read The Dead Zone when I was in high school, so I was probably 14, and I remember when they started making reference to like, oh, this girl the next town over, and I'm like, holy God, that's Carrie.
Right.
Like, that's got
I'll never forget that scene in that movie where that guy's wearing like the all black like leather oil slicker. And he's got the scissors like propped open, and he just takes the back like he does it himself. It was I don't remember why he did it or what the scene was. I just remember like watching. He's like, he's not gonna do it. He's like, oh, he did it. Like he did it to himself. That's even worse.
But the man in black is in The Stand.
He's I almost called Randall Flagg.
Well, Randall Flagg is so they changed the character's name in the movie, right? Like he's Randall Flagg
in
the
Walter
books,
in
right?
This.
He's Walter in this. But so Randall Flagg pops up a lot, and Randall Flagg, like, not mean a lot, but multiple times. And Randall Flagg is like the main guy in The Stand.
Yeah,
which you've never read The Stand. That's
a book.
That's his masterpiece, I think. Like,
was that one of his first ones that they moved to TV?
No, because the first one they did on TV was Salem's Lot.
Oh,
David Soul.
Right. That's a good. That's
and was it Lance Kerwin from James at 16?
All I remember is the remake had who's the guy from Parks and Rec? Rob Lowe.
Okay.
Yeah.
James at 16 was interesting. It was a it was called James at 15, and people were like, what are you going to do in the second season? And they were like, James at 16.
Fair enough.
Well, fair enough.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah.
So here's an article from a website called Bustle.com, and they're talking about the differences.
Sounds pretty reliable.
They do. Well, they probably know more than we do, Joe.
That's probably true. That's so, safe. That's safe.
It's an article about the film versus the books, and it says The Horn of Eld. In the original series, Roland doesn't have the Horn of Eld until the end of the books, but in the film, he is already in possession of the magical object. So that's what I was
saying. You see it, like it's in his bag. You can see it on his bag.
Yeah, I just thought he was excited to be there.
So he doesn't even have it till the end, and he starts off in this movie, and it says, for those of you who don't know, the Horn of Eld has the power to reset Roland's journey. So think losing a life on a video game and having to start the level all over again. So
okay.
That's why people, since he has no save points, huh? Yeah. So I guess since he has this horn, people are like, okay, so this is another journey.
It feels like they're out for why there are differences. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, but he's already done. Like, the real version's already happened.
Right. So that's why this is just really odd. And I mean, among all the other changes. So what it sounds like is that if you haven't read the books, you're probably going to have a lot better chance of liking
this
movie.
I mean, like I said, I didn't, as a person that has never read a single one of these books, I thought it was clunky. But I thought it was fine.
But you got to wonder why there's so much passion for it.
That
right?
is true.
You know,
that is true. I mean, I guess I don't have the passion for Harry Potter, but I like the movies.
No, the movies are great.
Yeah, and I as a comic fan and a wrestling fan, like I get that passion for a medium. I totally understand that.
Right.
I don't like as a. It's so weird as a wrestling fan. I don't expect other people to get it.
Yeah.
You know, like Tom. Or Kevin.
I get it in the abstract, though. Like,
okay.
I don't want to watch it.
Right.
It doesn't interest me. But I get why people like it.
Right. And I guess I don't have that. I don't get it for this property.
Right. Because this was not well done.
Right. And I guess if it was better, I would get
it. And man, it's very frustrating as a Stephen King fan. I mean, I haven't read all of his books, but I've read a lot. You know, I mean, I probably read 25 or 30 of his books, you know, and
he's got 500, but
yeah,
you know.
But it's interesting in that I don't know that there probably hasn't been an author who's had more of his works transferred to the screen.
We were just talking about that.
And I don't know that there's an author that's had more of them transferred poorly. And it's like, it's interesting one that people keep going back to transfer his books to the screen because so many of the movies don't do well. They're not good. And there are some obvious notable exceptions.
But the one is
Stand By Me, Misery, Shawshank, Green Mile.
Yeah.
Like, though, like,
I mean, The Shining, but that's not his.
In The Shining, like, he hates The Shining.
Yeah, it's not his story.
What made The Shining work really has almost nothing to do with his story.
Right.
It was what Kubrick did to it, you know?
Yeah.
And
when I've heard that he doesn't hate it, but he is
kind of backed off a little bit.
Yeah.
There was a time he hated it.
But I mean, like, they redid it for TV, and the TV version is, I mean, it's definitely more faithful to the book, but it's not as good as the.
But it was a very personal book for him. And so since they changed the main thing that made it personal, he was very disconnected.
Sure.
And maybe he hated it more in the past. Because from what I heard, like, I've read interviews where it's like he doesn't hate it, but
I think he took so much heat for it's a beloved film, and I think he took a lot of heat, and he finally kind of like started to walk that back.
Gotcha.
You know?
Oh, okay.
But there was a long time when he was pissed,
piss and vinegar.
Mm-hmm. He was pissed at how that movie turned out, and I think then it was like kind of like even upset him more when people loved it so much that he's like, that's not my story, and people are, because I mean, I know I saw the movie. I was probably 14 or 15 and then read the book and I was like, well, these are radically different, you know? And, but it's interesting that the studios keep choosing to adapt his stuff. And it's also interesting that like none of the, for the most part, they haven't figured out like,
I think we'll see come in a couple weeks.
See, Stephen King,
that is going to be a tentpole movie for them.
I'm very interested to see how it does because it looks
fantastic.
Great. But the mistake people make with adapting Stephen King books, in my opinion, has always been they think Stephen King writes horror novels, and he doesn't. Stephen King writes character-driven fiction, and then horrible things, sometimes supernatural things, happen to them. But in some of these books, you're getting halfway in before that stuff even starts.
That's a good point. I never thought about that.
And what draws you in is how well he writes these characters, is you care for these characters. You like spending time with these characters.
And then when the horrible stuff happens.
And then when the horrible stuff happens. And like, and his books, and it's funny because Stephen King in a lot of ways has become synonymous with things that are fantastical, right? And what makes his books work isn't that they're fantastical, it's that they're not fantastical, right?
Interesting.
His books are, so, okay, it's, to me, a Stephen King book versus a regular horror book, I'm going to use a comic book analogy that you'll get and probably three other people listen to this. It's the difference between Superman and Miracle Man. Right. And Miracle Man is Superman, but it's grounded in reality. Fantastical things happen.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, they're like, well, what would the physics of this be? What would people really do with these sorts of powers? Like, these are the sorts of questions that Stephen King asks.
It's pretty good.
And he keeps them grounded in reality. And so, like, so even though at the end you might have a possessed dog trapping people in a car, or you might have a car, you know, possessing a human being and driving him crazy, or a killer clown. You have all these, but first and foremost, like, you care about those kids in it because they're getting bullied and they're getting picked on, and you know what that was like because it happened to you, and you really care and you're really driven. And then, oh, also, there's a crazy killer clown out to get him.
Right. There's this crazy thing that's on
the
loose.
And so the problem is
did he do Silver Bullet? Is that him?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that was one of his short stories. Okay. So. You know, the what's frustrating as a Stephen King fan to watch them make these movies, and they always jettison the stuff that draws you in. They're so eager to get to having Drew Barrymore set on fire that they forget to make you care about Drew Barrymore, right? And they do it over and over and over and over again, and it's absolutely maddening. And the only, and if you think about it, the stories, right, that have been adapted, the films that are the most popular in Stephen King's oeuvre.
Excuse me.
Fancy pants.
You went into his boudoir.
I put on my fancy pants for this episode.
Excuse me while I push up my glasses.
Yeah, so the stories that are the most universally loved, Stand By Me.
Sure.
Nothing supernatural happens in that story. One goddamn supernatural thing.
That's
right?
Shawshank.
Yeah, he's Shawshank. I mean, nothing supernatural.
One of the most popular.
Yeah, nothing supernatural happened. And also, let's not forget, from the same book, right?
Oh, yeah,
they're
totally
from the same short story collection, Four Seasons, right? And
Green Mile?
Green Mile.
There's a little supernatural.
There's a little supernatural, but for the most part,
it's all them.
Pretty grounded, right? And Misery, nothing supernatural. That's a...
I gotta throw Carrie in there.
She has telekinesis.
No. I just mean, like, I mean, in his beloved.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And I think because it was so early in, people, I kind of forget it too.
Yeah.
But
I know they're supernatural.
Carrie.
I know. We're like,
why is that on the list? Though we're like, what are you talking about?
But then Misery.
So I like hot dogs too. Yeah.
And Misery is like a chamber piece.
That's a tour de force.
I mean,
both of those.
I mean, I remember reading it as a kid, and I was like, this could be a play, and then they turned it into a play. Like, it's one set.
Totally,
like,
yeah.
It's, you know,
one of the most iconic scenes, I think, ever.
Yeah.
Like, when she's putting the buddy.
Cobbler. Yeah. But again, like, that's all, but all those things are driven by character, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing to keep in mind, of those four movies I just named, right?
Yeah.
Two of them were written by, the guy from The Walking Dead, the first showrunner from The Walking Dead.
Oh, Darabont.
Frank Darabont. And the other two were written by William Goldman. So,
who
wrote what is considered the best screenplay in the history of cinema. He wrote the screenplay for Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
Right.
And he wrote the screenplay and the novel that is based on for Princess Bride.
He wrote the novel for that?
For Princess Bride?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he wrote the novel Princess Bride and then adapted the screenplay. He wrote... And so those two guys they've also cracked the code on how to adapt Stephen King, right? And what do they know? It's about characters.
It's about characters.
It's about characters and people.
But this is Akiva Goldsman who brought us Batman Forever and Batman and Robin.
Was it you who said, look this guy up?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, this is getting worse. Like, this is not.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many people in Hollywood have written some of the worst
and they keep, getting worse.
Well, this guy is at the top.
Yeah,
the top of the list.
I mean, now granted, there were like five screenwriters for this, which we've said on the Spider-Man episode, where it's just like normally that's a kiss of death.
Yeah,
for Spider-Man it wasn't. For this, it may have been. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so, but yeah, so like people always forget that Hollywood always forgets that, like, you know, when you read Christine, you care, like,
you care about that kid.
You care about that kid, and it's a tragedy. You watch this kid who starts off as this nerdy kid that you root for, and by the end, you want to kill him too.
Yeah, he's descending into madness,
and you hate him, but you also feel bad for him. It's a classic Greek tragedy,
right?
And it's sad to watch, and the movie just wants to be like, isn't it fun? Won't it be cool to watch this car fix itself? And it's like, but no.
Yeah, look, Carpenter. That's Carpenter, isn't it?
Was that him?
I honestly
don't remember.
I think it is.
But let's look it up.
I think that was one of his first pay for play.
Oh, one for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I
or
need
one for them.
One
rather.
For them. Like, yeah. I need to make money for Ghosts of Mars, so I better do Christine.
Right.
Jeez. I think it is him. I'm almost positive that's him.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. You are correct. It was John
Carpenter. What year was that?
I think that was like 84.
Yeah, so he's a few years out. Well, no, wait.
So 83.
So we're 2 years past The Thing.
Yeah.
So, and The Thing didn't do very well.
Yeah. But yeah, it was 83. So, okay. But still, like, but the movie loses all that.
Yeah.
The movie's just like, let's make a scary car movie. And it's like, no, let's make a movie about a kid.
It's called Duel.
Yeah, let's make a movie about a kid who is being taken over by a scary car. And he's going mad. Like, that's the book you read.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the way those trailers look for It. I think they may
that
have
movie's
cracked
gonna
that.
That movie's going to make a ton of money.
That code.
I think they might have finally made like a great Stephen King horror
movie.
Possible.
With the buzz around that and the fact that everyone's talking about it, that movie is going to make a crap ton of money.
Yeah, for sure.
But so why do you think that they decided to make this story about Jake instead of the gunslinger who is the...
I think at some point somebody said, let's make it a young adult movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's rated PG-13.
Let's make it...
which I don't think is the norm for a Stephen King...
Yeah, let's make it a Harry Potter. Let's make it a let's make it a Divergent. Let's make
it a Sony doesn't have a franchise right now.
Right.
Like they technically have Spider-Man, but Marvel's like, no.
And it's the classic franchise boner mistake of like we got to do it all right now. And it's like, no, like just make the good
slow down.
The movie right. Like trust for the love of Christ, trust the source material.
If there's one guy you can trust.
You bought the rights for a reason,
right.
Man. Like, trust the source material. Like, well, I will never, ever understand that.
But getting into the movie, so the problem is, so this movie follows this kid, Jake, and not only are they swapping the main character, it's not Roland the Gunslinger, who's this badass, awesome character that everyone loves. It's this kid, and then they started off with the same just generic story of the kid sees something, and the parents don't believe him,
the issue
and
that
he's crazy, they're going to send him away, and it's like, God, we've seen this
The issue
so
that
late.
I always have with stories like that is your main character is quote-unquote crazy.
Right. Right.
And he acts crazy, and then as soon as he is, it's revealed that he's not crazy, the character completely flips into a kid that's just like a completely normal kid.
Right.
Like, I've always had a problem with that, where like, so his entire personality changes as soon as he's proven right? Like, no, he would still be that super awkward kid.
Because he's still the kid that grew up in a world where nobody believed
exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, sure,
but now he's a badass gunslinger junior.
Yeah, like I've always had issues with that, and they do that in this one where there's the kid.
Well, and then there's things that just make no, like when you get the opening scene where the kids are like at this that like camp
they're,
or whatever,
the Hunger Game, they're in District 12.
Yeah. and then what are they doing? Like, why, like if they're abducting kids, why are they going to the trouble of warehousing them? Like,
right,
what does that gain them? Like, you should just be strapping them in that chair and launching them one
so
after
I'm,
another.
I'm wondering if there's a thing in the books where they say that like these kids, they've been kidnapping these kids to make sure that they have them at the ready.
Well, because it's like the Dark Tower can be taken down by the mind of a child, and then it's like, and then like the next thing you see, he's flinging kids at it. I'm like, boy, you really read that literally, didn't you?
So
like,
this is
are a fundamentalist at heart.
So to get into it, basically Jake is having these dreams. The main character is Jake. He's the protagonist of this, you know, the main character,
with
I should
mom.
Say. Yes.
Yeah.
Very.
I wish she had been in the movie more.
I know. As soon as she is on screen, I'm like, whoa, hello, hi, Jake.
How are you, Michelle Pfeiffer from like, 1982?
I'm like, how are his friends not mentioning
Did you see
the
that she's going to be Janet Van Dyne.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah,
that's great.
Is that confirmed? I heard that it was. Okay. Yeah. So Jake is having these dreams and nobody believes him, and he's drawing. He is just notepad full. He's posting these pictures all over his walls of what he's seeing in these dreams. And so that is where he sees the man in black.
He sees the man in black. He sees the tower.
Yeah.
He sees the kids. He sees the camp.
The kids, they are using their, like, they have special abilities and these machines hook up to their
head. We're just
going to
call it. It's the Shining.
Do they all have the Shine?
It's the Shine.
Or is that, okay.
Yeah. So the man in black has this machine that can detect the Shine, which is what Danny has in The Shining. Like, yeah. Danny is one of, technically, he's not as strong. I mean, from my perception, I could be wrong, but it looks like Jake is way stronger.
He has to
than
be the
Danny.
Strong. Well, yeah, Jake has
well,
to
they
be
say
the
that,
strongest.
Right? Like, he's
person
like,
ever.
He's it. I mean, like, strongest we've ever
he's,
seen.
He's the Luke Skywalker of these movies.
Yeah, no one's ever seen a Shine that
right.
high.
So these right? they if they're targeting kids who are predisposed to having the Shine,
and this machine,
or the
harnesses,
shin, depending on which Treehouse of Horror episodes, yeah. you get sued.
He's got the shinning. they're harnessing the Shine into this machine that takes that,
makes it extra shiny,
extra yes. shiny, super
and,
shiny,
and it turns into the beam of light from every superhero movie, and it attacks.
I think
the dark.
Superman punched that in Man of Steel.
Yeah,
I think that's what happened. Yeah.
So the Man in Black is trying to take down the Dark Tower, and the end game.
And
is,
why? So the dark, they say that the tower.
But why is he trying to take it down?
Oh, we have no idea.
Oh, just so demons
just
can...
he's bad. Just because he's a bad guy.
That's the other
Dominic
thing.
Bad guy decided yeah. he wanted to yeah. knock down the tower.
No, that was my question, too. The entire time I watched this movie, I'm like, okay, he's trying to get demons to come take over once the tower's down. What does the man in black get out of that?
Yeah.
What's like his motivation? I have no idea.
And why does he have this whole crew of lackeys who really suck at their job when all he has to do is go, stop breathing?
Yeah.
Like, he's got so much power,
he's the devil, right?
And then
the deal?
Essentially,
yeah,
and,
that's
and
what
then,
I'm
he, and then he and then he hires all these lackeys who are really bad at his job.
They're awful at their job,
and then gets mad when they screw it up. Like, I mean,
what did you get for hiring dummies?
So that's
what you get for outsourcing.
If we didn't have Trump as president, I'd be like, this makes no sense at all. That would never happen.
But now,
oh,
he's
maybe.
Fired 6 people in 6 months. All right, very good.
So what? Katie and I were trying to figure this out, and she turned to me during the movie, and she said,
get your hand off my thigh.
No, she oh. said more.
No, he's
but,
telling you.
No.
Get your hand
yeah,
off
no,
his
I'm
thigh.
Serious. Yeah. Get your hand off
oh,
my thigh.
Oh, sorry. Well, sorry. I was thinking back to that movie. No, so she says, what are these people? Like, they're wearing skin. They're wearing,
right.
like, human skin, right?
Yeah.
What are they? They never explain it.
They
don't tell us.
He calls one of them a rat boy.
Like, rat face. Yeah.
He's like,
your skin around me.
Yeah, wear your skin.
I don't, like, if
are they rat creatures? What?
If that's from the book, I either don't remember it or I didn't get deep enough into the series. Because
yeah.
I really don't remember him having a lot of lackeys. But again, it's been, like, 25 years since I've read these books.
But okay. I think that's why you don't take 7 books and mine them to make 1 hour and a half long movie.
Yes.
Because we have no idea what's going on. And maybe there's certain things in this movie that are okay without you knowing that. Like, it's not a complete failure. And this movie isn't a travesty. You know what I mean? It's
sure.
like Joe said, he thought it was okay. He's never read the books, but it's okay. So,
you know, the thing I like the best out of the whole movie
when he goes to Earth?
When
the fish out of water?
Yeah.
I thought that was the most entertaining
part. Yeah,
when it
becomes Star Trek 4.
Oh,
yeah.
See,
yeah.
I said Last Action Hero.
Yeah. I like the first time you see him load his gun and all the bullets
oh
just kind of fall into it.
Ching, ching,
that
ching,
was
ching,
cool.
Ching.
Why are we not that seeing that again?
That,
yeah.
And that was a cool scene.
That was a very cool
scene. But that's what I was trying to say earlier is you've got the gunslinger, this character who everyone says badass. I talked to people when the first trailer came out, and I'm like, what's the deal with this? And they're like, the gunslinger is supposed to be the best marksman,
and
he's
just amazing.
And
you could not have gotten a better actor.
And Idris Elba was awesome, and
yeah.
I think that everything that he does in this movie is good. I think
he's good in the movie.
It's not
I think
his...
he's miscast.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think
I
the
don't
gun,
think they gave him enough to do.
I think the gunslinger
yeah.
is supposed to be like older and weathered and grizzled, and he's none of those things.
Really? See,
yeah.
I just think
he's miscast.
Yeah.
It's not a race thing. It's
right.
he's supposed to be kind of haggard.
He's supposed to be like Sam Elliott?
I mean,
oh.
yeah, or like maybe like a younger Tommy Lee Jones or Josh Brolin, maybe. Like I could, you know, like, sorry, Brolin. but yeah, like I think he's supposed to be kind of like leathery. Like he's walking around in the sun.
That's true.
Like
yeah.
he's just supposed to be kind of beat down by life.
I think Elba could have done that. I mean, when you see him on Luther, by the time you get to the fourth season, like he's beaten down. He's got gray hair. He's been through the ringer in the last three seasons, and he looks that way. And he definitely looks younger in this than he did in this fourth season.
Well, maybe you cast President Palmer to be the gunslinger then.
Yeah, if he was a little younger, yeah, I think.
I mean, if you're talking about him being a little older and more seasoned, I mean, in this movie, his dad is played by the president from 24.
Dennis Haysbert.
So yeah. I was like, who the hell is President Palmer?
Yeah.
If you would have said the guy from Major League, I would have known what you were talking about.
See, if you said the guy from The Unit, I would have known what you're talking about.
But so
the guy from those insurance commercials.
Yeah,
the guy from those. So
wait, his dad's played by Flo from Progressive.
Yeah, right.
The Aflac duck?
He's played by Mayhem.
Yeah.
He's Mayhem.
Yeah.
No. So I think Elba was great in the couple of scenes they let him do something. I mean, I thought his acting was good, his delivery, his demeanor.
He wasn't bad.
Right.
I just think that they should have went with somebody more, a little more haggard.
Sure.
Yeah. You know?
But say you cast him, whatever. But he should have been the main character. This kid was not interesting, was not good. I mean, maybe given what he was given, he was okay. But it's just, you're here for the gunslinger, and this kid's a character in the story, but he's not the main character. You're here to see the guy that's popping bullets in at, you know,
spins the barrel and just starts dropping.
That was the coolest thing, when he takes them out of his pocket and spins it and, goes chink, 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 and drops each one in. And then I also thought there was about one action scene in this movie, and it's they get all the ammo. I'm not saying there weren't a couple little things where he shoots a demon, but there was one action scene at the very end, and I'm like, cool, that should have been the entire movie, like those kind of action scenes.
This should have been more of an action movie.
Yeah.
From what I understand of the source
material. Or they should have trusted the source material and let it be a story.
Right.
You know, because I mean, look at Iron Man 3. That doesn't have a lot of action.
No, it doesn't.
It's just him driving around talking to some kid, but it was great. You know, I know it's a polarizing movie for some people. I thought it was great. But it's
the best Iron Man movie without Iron Man in it. That's for sure.
It's a good Tony Stark movie.
It's a Tony Stark movie.
I don't care about Iron Man. I like Tony Stark.
That's what you pay to see.
I love Iron Man 3.
It's, you know, he's just the most successful writer of the 20th century.
Yeah, you know, no big deal.
No reason to trust the ideas knocking around his noggin.
It's not like, I mean, it's funny because we were talking earlier, the J.K. Rowling's, I mean, she's the
most successful of the 21st century.
Right, but I mean, like, they don't deviate much from her source material, do they?
No.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty faithful.
And she oversees, she's very involved.
I wonder if that's the difference.
Maybe he just sells his stuff.
Rumor I've always heard is, like, he'll sell you anything.
Yeah.
To give you, like, if you say, hey, I want to option Needful Things, he's like, give me a buck.
Do it for a dollar? Yeah.
Give me a buck.
And if
he likes it, he'll go, you know, we'll go forward. But I wonder if he doesn't have as much oversight.
I don't think he does. And I think he came up in a time when authors couldn't really
just sell it and
couldn't ask for that. You just sold it and hoped for the best. And I think the other difference too is she's got one book to worry about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where at this point he's got 100? I don't even know how to estimate how many books he has.
He can't spend his whole life on one property.
Right.
He's probably got 100 movies.
But you would think, if there was one property that he was going to keep a death grip on, it would have been this one.
So basically, it's the generic, you know, predictable story of the parents don't believe him. He's got the jackass stepdad that treats him like crap, and the mom kind of goes along with whatever he says, and he's like, this kid needs help, and so they basically want to send him to this weekend mental institution that's going to
basically. You know how many books Stephen King has written?
No.
So many books that Google doesn't know. When you Google how many books has Stephen King written, I swear to Christ, the answer says at least 91.
Can't be sure.
Am I making that up?
At least
it says
it's a picture of Stephen King.
Dumped Google. Like, even
90.
Google's like, I don't know. Like we can only we return this result in 1.12 seconds. So he could have written two books in that time. Like, we can't be held.
We can't make it up to date.
We can't be held responsible for this number.
It's like those commercials where the guy is. Have you seen those where the guy's Google? Like, it's a commercial of a guy sitting behind a desk, and he is Google.
Yeah.
And he just opens his doors, and it's people just asking the dumbest questions. Oh. And he was just like, why? Why do you need to know that? Like, why is that important? But it's just like that.
Really. I just love that Google is like, 91
maybe
ish. They're changing the name to Google ish.
So these,
just when it comes to that,
yes,
yeah.
So these two people that we find out are these rat creatures. I guess we're just going to call them rat.
Well,
rat
you know
faces.
They were bad immediately from the way they're talking to the like
well,
to the,
no,
to the
of course
family.
We do.
Yeah, yeah they're just like, "Hello, sir. How are you today? Yeah.
Hello,
don't
human.
Don't worry. Yeah, hello, human.
Hello, human person.
Yeah. But I'm not a rat creature in a human suit.
so the two saggy skinned rat creatures,
sugar water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They come to try to sell him on this camp or whatever, this weekend thing, and they're here to take him. He's got his bags packed and
fat kid camp.
Yeah, well, yeah. It does really remind me of Heavyweights or something, or Camp Nowhere. But
that's a good movie.
I love both those movies. So they're here, and he knows that something's up because this guy has the same scars the people in the dreams.
He's also
have.
Been drawing that. Like he's been drawing the people with the scars, so he knows. Yeah. He thinks he knows what's going on.
Yeah. So he ends up climbing out a bathroom window. A chase ensues.
And he turns into Spider-Man.
Yep. A chase.
Yeah. Awesome wire work.
Yeah. And he gets away. And basically, he's been dreaming about this house that he finds out by going on the forums, I guess.
Yeah. What a weird use of the internet where he's just like, hey, what house is this? Yeah.
And what is like Brooklyn Real Estate fans.com.
Yeah. And then one guy's like, oh, that's my old hood.
Yeah. Right.
It's over here. Oh, okay.
So he ends up.
Thank you, plot device.
Yeah. So he ends up.
Google can find this kid's house, but they can't tell us how many Stephen King books he's actually written.
No, this is.
It wasn't Google.
Oh, it was
New York fanhouses.com.
Reddit, not Reddit.
It was something like ask the group or something like that.
It was a forum and the most specific forum ever. So he goes to the house and it ends up that they have a portal there, and this is a portal that takes you to the different dimensions, I guess, that are controlled or held together by the Dark Tower. All these different parallel universes.
You have to input a certain number.
And he's been seeing 19-19-1919 in all his dreams. So he ends up putting in the code and it opens a portal to the desert.
Well, he just has to fight like the house demon.
Yeah. And so there's
and
a house
takes out the house demon.
Yeah, which apparently is never. I mean, a human taking out a house demon is unbelievable. And so
even if it's Dobby,
I'm not sure it's a human. House demon,
not a house elf.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's a little different. But that was the bad one, the bad Dobby. Remember the little creature?
Right, right,
the
right.
The creature,
bad Dobby,
or whichever one that was really angry all the time and
forever.
Beating people up. He was so mean to Dobby. But anyway, so he goes to the desert, and that's where he ends up meeting Roland, the gunslinger. And meanwhile, the man in black, Matthew McConaughey, hears that there's this kid that escaped from them, and he also hears that there's
is the man in black is he like weird and waxy looking? Or has Matthew McConaughey become weird and waxy looking?
I think it's the latter.
I think that's McConaughey.
I was like, is this an acting choice or what is happening?
It was a weird. I mean,
this is like in between Dallas Buyers Club and Gold, maybe. Like, you know what I mean? He's changing his look so
well,
often.
It's funny. When he came in to audition for Rust, they thought they were getting like Fool's Gold. Size.
All right.
They thought they were getting like bulked up, and he walks in because he's done filming Dallas
bulked
Buyers
up.
Club. No. Like they thought they were getting like that big, you know, like the big muscly Matthew McConaughey.
But Rain of Fire.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
But he walks in and he's the
Gold?
Dude from Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh,
and they're just like, what happened?
They were like, this is not all right. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
This is bad.
But it worked so well.
Well,
right?
he was supposed to be. Woody Harrelson's character.
Oh,
the original
idea.
They were flip flopped, and then during the reads, they're like, "Can we flip these and see what happens?"
God, oh, for True Detective.
Yeah,
I thought you said for Rust.
That's the character's
Rust.
Name is Rust.
Oh, Rust.
I was like, this must be some art house movie.
No,
I don't know.
No,
sorry, he didn't say it, but
yeah,
Rust. True
Rust and Cole.
Oh, okay,
and yeah, they were supposed to flip flop.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, they tried it the other way, and they were like, oh. This is way better.
It's so good. I cannot imagine Woody Harrelson being. It would
no. I could imagine what it would have been.
No,
a different
I can,
movie,
but
or a different show.
I just watched that a couple months.
Did you finally
ago.
Get watch it?
Oh my god,
so good!
I'm not gonna watch the second one,
don't.
But that first one.
So the third season just cast the guy from. He won the Oscar. For best supporting actor. This past year, he just won the guy that won Best Supporting Actor.
For remind me, I just can't think.
The guy, Coppermouth from Luke Cage.
Oh, for Moonlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maharaj Ali.
Yeah, he's in talks for season 3.
Thank you. So I just couldn't remember. Once you said who he is,
yeah. I don't know what season 3 is going to be, considering season 2 is as garbage as always.
Right, it's not solidified.
No, he's in talks.
I hear a lot of articles about they're hopefully going to be...
It was a 3-season deal.
Yeah.
But after as bad as season 2 was, they're like, maybe not.
So basically McConaughey and you know, it just kind of jumps around, but basically McConaughey is trying to get, you know, mine all these kids with the shine to take down the tower, and none of them can get the job done. But he knows there's this kid out here that escaped them, and someone's off the charts with the shine, and so he goes to investigate that. They send him to New York. He ends up meeting the stepdad or whatever.
I gotta
say,
the New York scene where he's explaining, like, do you have guns there? He's like, I think you're going to like it here.
That was funny.
That like, was a good line.
You're really going to like New York.
I really enjoyed, which this is the...
Well, this is the turn of the kid, right? The kid's personality.
This is the last third of the movie.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, the last third, he's...
But the movie's only 45 minutes
right.
long.
Right.
So.
But, I mean,
this podcast is going to be longer than the movie.
I'm telling you, once
this rate.
Once it was a fish out of water story, I enjoyed it. It was entertaining. And that's where you got the action scene at the end.
It's funny, because it's like, I agree, that's also not why you go to a Dark Tower
movie.
Right,
that is true.
I know.
I don't want to see... I mean, it's like running to porn and going, boy, the musical number was really the best part.
Right.
I mean,
no, like, it says a lot.
Not why I rented the movie, but you know, sure, why not?
but no, that's the sad thing about it is that when you hear about this,
she must do yoga.
That it makes me want to read the books, because I think the concept is very interesting. I know Stephen King's a good writer, so I want to learn more about these characters and the Dark Tower and everything. But yeah, the most interesting part was when it started to get kind of fun back in New York, and it's like
Star Trek 4.
Right. Yeah, very true. You said that, and I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
But so, the other funny scene is where they're in the hospital, and he's getting treated for the poison.
Right.
And he was just like
in New York.
He gives her the coin for your service.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But they're just like, you tested positive for hepatitis A, hepatitis C, and this, and like a form of radiation poisoning. Have you been out of the country in the last?
Yeah, no, the kid's giving him the signal. No. Yeah.
But you know, it's also like the move, like while those scenes were funny, the movie hadn't earned those scenes yet.
They hadn't.
You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
Like, that's a scene that's funny. I mean, honestly, 2 or 3 movies into the franchise. Like, it's too... They jumped the gunslinger.
Oh,
They, you know, like, I don't know. It just felt... While I laughed and I was amused, and it was the better part of the film, it also felt cheap.
Yeah. It felt like it was in the wrong movie.
They were and it was like they were undermining the character for a laugh.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of this, there were a lot of troubles in production, and I think that the movie screened poorly, and they probably added more humor, like some of these movies do back in.
You know, if you got a movie like this and it's not screening well, and you have a scene that gets a laugh, like on purpose,
sure,
you know, like nobody's gonna be like, well, cut the laugh scene,
yeah, get that out of
they
there
didn't come here for laughs, cut that out, you know what I mean, like, it's, you know,
there'll be no response whatsoever,
right,
when this,
you know,
over.
unless you're screening Schindler's List.
That's the awkward part where you hear the one guy laughing, can we put his name on a list,
so yeah, you're like, so yeah, so like, what, did that guy laugh because he was German? Like, is
what
that
part of that was like, why was he laughing at the sniper scene?
Did we not do this right, or is he just a Nazi?
Yeah, what? You know what, sir? Why don't you come with us real quick? Yeah. We're going to have a little chat
with you.
Why
don't you come alt-right this way?
So
why'd you add that first part?
So Jake has had a dream where he sees the gunslinger and the gunslinger's father, and we see that the man in black has killed the father, but he's not, his magics are not able to work on, and he was saying magics, and that's a thing. It just sounded so ridiculous when McConaughey said
there are
it.
Some weird vocabulary choices.
And I mean, it's from the book. I'm not saying it's wrong, but what I'm saying is, like, McConaughey saying magics just seems so ridiculous.
I think there are things that perhaps read better.
Yeah,
I think that's true.
Than they're said out loud in this movie, like the whole, like, you have forgotten the face of your father.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, absolutely. By the last time when he said that, I was just like, shut up. The gunslinger's motto is,
what,
like,
if your dad was a
Yeah. Can I forget the face of my... Like, that was another funny scene where the guy's like, hey,
what if
she's like, hey, cutie, can we party with you? She's like, you've forgotten the face of your father.
And again, like, I felt like even though it was funny, it was undermining, like, what he does. Like, it was undermining the character for the laugh.
No, I agree.
You know?
So we see that the whatever it is, Roland is not affected by the magic of the man in black. So we see that, and then when Jake does take the portal to 1919. He meets up with him in the desert, and of course Roland is like, who are you and who sent you? And he's like, I know you, I've seen you. And you know, he's all freaked out by him at first, but he gives him information. He talks about the man in black. He talks about the location where he has these kids in the tower. So Roland starts to believe him, and you know, and then it's a, then it's kind of a not a buddy movie, like a road movie where they're traveling.
It's cop and a half.
Yeah. To take,
oh my God.
It's cop or my mom will shoot.
It's gunslinger and a half.
Yeah. So they're traveling to basically, Roland says, show me, and he shows him the drawings, and where is the man in black? And the whole deal is that Roland is trying to take revenge on the man in black. He's basically abandoned his gunslinger
duties.
But
why?
Because he killed his dad.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard that backwards. I thought you meant the man in black was getting revenge on Roland.
Like, okay, but even that, and again, like, I don't remember if this was in the book, but I'm like the man in black is trying to destroy not just the universe, but
everything,
but the multiverse. But it's like, but now he killed my dad, so I'm pissed.
Yeah,
like I think there's a little bit more important stuff going on. He didn't really need that motivation,
yeah. Right?
Like, I mean, I get that, like, and maybe it works different in the book because again, it's been a long time. Yeah. But like, I get that it's added motivation, but the movie makes it feel like, well, I mean, it was the gig to kill the man in black, but well, now
but
they
killed my dad.
But now they killed my dad, and I'm taking it seriously.
Yeah, it's legit now.
Yeah, like I'm not even listening to Johnny Cash records anymore. That's how serious,
that's how serious
I'm
I am.
I'm taking this very seriously.
So meanwhile,
those are some good records.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the man in black, he goes to New York. He ends up killing the stepmom. I'm sorry, the mom,
kills
and the stepdad.
Both, yeah.
And you know that.
Which I mean, like he. So this character, I feel like, is ruthless and like uncaring. And I thought that was like, well, he can't leave the stepmom. Like, I didn't know what they were going to walk into, but like she
that's
had
a ballsy
to,
choice.
She
honestly
had to die because if you leave her alive, then.
But then she's a hostage. Then you have leverage.
But
then the movie doesn't clock in at 90 minutes.
That's also true. Yeah.
Ah, but he did it for a reason.
He tried to break through.
Jake uses the shine to see,
right,
what happens,
see what happens,
and that's how they locate him. That's right. What it is. So meanwhile, when that's happening.
I don't normally bag on kid actors.
He's bad.
He was really bad.
He's really bad.
He was really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he was bad overall.
I didn't care for
him. I was indifferent to him overall, but I thought the scene was pretty rough.
Yeah.
Like that he could not handle the heavy lifting.
Nope, I agree.
But but before they go back to New York, they learn about the shine. So they go, they're in the desert, and they go to a town, and the town hasn't seen a gunslinger. He is the last of the gunslingers, and they have not seen
before they get to New York.
One of his type. Right. Yeah. Well, but Man in Black's in New York. They're traveling in the desert. And then they basically say Jake has this shine and his ability. They've never seen anything like it. And they say, well, you have to. They end up saying, you have to send us to New York. And they have a portal to do so.
Oh, the Man in Black is in New York already.
Mm, yeah.
Jake and the gunslinger are in this small town.
Yeah.
With the gal who is also, I guess she, does she have the shine?
She has some kind of some, power.
Like,
yeah.
Like, so, okay, you're right. Then they realize we got to get to New York to stop him, and then they get, and for a 90 minute movie, yeah.
So I'm just trying to get through the plot. So
no, I'm
so, so basically, so then they get attacked. The man in black has this, one of his lackeys sends their ninjas, their
yeah.
Power Ranger ninjas,
right,
enemies
right.
to this camp.
To the camp,
so
yeah.
They cut the power. They have a big fight scene. This is one of two basic action scenes
yeah.
in the movie.
This is where we get an idea of like what Roland can do.
I think
even when he's on death's door and he's still.
Yeah, I think this was really cool. I think this one thing
it
was
falls
one
into,
of the
it
cooler.
It falls into the problems that I have. Obviously, well, I like the quick cuts where you don't really get to see a
no,
lot of it.
No, just the one thing that he does.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Not the whole sequence.
Which is just like...
This shows you how badass the gunslinger is supposed
to be. If he can do this the entire time, like, that's my issue. Like, if he has this skill, he should never have to fire more than one bullet
yeah.
at somebody.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of things in this movie where if somebody could do that, why aren't they
right.
doing
right.
it all the
so
time?
So it's this one scene where Jake
is a great scene.
Jake has been abducted, and he basically is able to not really slow down time, but his senses are heightened to where it shows you, you know, he sees things clinking and pots and pans clinking. And yeah, and he can just listen, and he hears the Power Rangers monster abducting Jake, and he just aims his gun, and he is able to shoot from an incredible distance the bad guy in the head and save him. And it is one of the coolest scenes in the movie.
It's a very cool scene. And but my thing is, like, if why are you firing at somebody three times?
Right.
If you can kill somebody in one shot,
right.
and you have a revolver which has five
well,
to six bullets,
right. I mean, he has like, to really hone his senses. And like when you're in a fight with a bunch of people, you can't sit there and hold on a second, let me listen to the pots and pans. Like, I mean, he can't do that all the time, but this shows you as the gunslinger, right, what his abilities are, like how good he is. So that was one of the coolest things. So anyway, they save him, they power up the portal, they get to New York, he finds his mom's dead, and then of course is very upset, and Roland's like, it's okay, I'm here, and they have a little bonding moment, and then it's off to go kill the Man in Black.
Full tilt boogie.
Yes,
if you
that
will.
Is, yes, yeah. That is what they're into.
Yeah, so then they take off, and the Man in Black, they see Rorschach.
Yep.
Which was like, I was
from
like,
Welcome Back Cotter.
From Welcome Back Cotter.
Yeah.
This is where the big fight scene begins, because
yeah, the one, oh, and I like how, you know, this is PG-13, so we can't see it, but
no blood.
Roland has to sneak past a whole bunch of guards to
right.
get like to the main
oh
place.
Yeah, we should say the Man in Black has Jake.
Yeah, the Man in yeah. Black ends up
kidnapped. He gets Jake. He yeah. gets hold of Jake.
He ends
yeah.
up getting a hold of him, and he has to go save him, and you see a whole bunch of dead bodies on the ground, and he kills one guy with a knife, but then you see like 20 dead bodies. Yeah. Like, that could have been such a cool scene, but this is PG-13, so,
can't do it.
Nope. So but anyway, he ends up infiltrating the lab, but it's already too late. Jake's been hooked up to the machine. His energy beam is going to be sent to the tower, but he's fighting back. He's keeping the portal open that Roland needs to come save him, and basically the Man in Black is like, screw this, and he goes through the portal to
stop, basically to slow down. He doesn't think
Narnia.
He can stop to
yes.
Narnia. Yes,
yes. He didn't go to a wardrobe, but he
just wants to slow. He's trying to slow Roland down
yeah.
enough to where Jake gives up and
Roland
destroys
has
the
shot
tower.
Like 50 bad guys at this point, and he's yeah. coming after him. So he goes to New York or wherever he is at the time. Yeah, because they go
building.
To that club. It's
yeah.
the Hogs, whatever they figure
the
out,
Dixie or whatever.
Dixie, yeah. So he takes out all the bad guys, but the Man in Black meets him, and this is that. Plus, the Man in Black versus Roland thing is really the best action in the movie, and I wish there was a little more.
So there's a scene where he shoots the glass, and all I could hear was Hans Gruber shoot the glass. And he just they did not like. I don't know what the budget was on this, but some of the scenes looked really good, and other scenes like this did not look good.
Yeah.
Where like Roland shoots this big old plate glass window, and
McConaughey stops it. Yeah, it looked a little cheesy.
Yeah, it didn't look very good.
Yeah. I mean, I just liked the gunfights and that, and to show Roland's skill as the gunslinger. Like, I'm like, wow, this is who this character is. This is what we're supposed to see. And, you know, I liked the whole showdown with all the bad guys and everything. But yeah, when it came with McConaughey floating glass in the air and stuff, some of the stuff was cool, but some was really
cheesy. It looked
cheesy.
Very X-Men Apocalypse-y.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of...
This seemed like a really good 90s TV movie version of this book.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So in the end, Jake is...
The love you take is equal to the love you make.
So Roland's down for the count. The Man in Black has basically collapsed a whole bunch of stuff on top of him and has taken him out. He's, you know, he's got him dead to rights on the ground. And Jake starts reciting the gunslinger's
the
motto, which is like a 6-part thing, again, that we've heard 20 times in this movie.
We're going to hear it again.
And he has to recite the entire thing, and then Roland starts slowly reciting.
It's like a lock code on the gun.
Yeah.
Like, won't.
Otherwise, it won't fire.
And you know it's supposed to be this big emotional pivotal moment, and maybe in the books it is when they recite it, but man, on screen it was like, come on.
Yeah, pick up the pace a little bit.
Yeah. 3 minutes.
And pick up the pace. We've been here for 80
minutes.
3 minutes
to recite this thing. And
it's like, and when you read it, it's one thing. When you watch it, you think somebody would just be like, okay, great.
Bam.
Well, it's also, we've become so accustomed to, in recent movies, where the villains don't get a speech.
They say a thing.
Where it's just like, hold up. Oh, well. All right.
No,
very
this
good.
Is I do not shoot with my hand. I shoot with my. And again, I'm not bagging on the material.
If it's John
but,
Wick, that guy gets. I shoot.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah. So he says that he shoots a bullet, and McConaughey's like, no, no, no. But then he shoots the bullet with another bullet, and it bounces off, it kills him, and it's like, this is your big bad.
He ricocheted
the Man in Black.
Yeah, he ricocheted a bullet off of a
bullet
which should have, like, I want to see a CG. Two bullets bouncing off each other, like, that's what I'd rather see than
it goes he wanted.
I won't do that.
The first like 45 minutes to an hour of that movie,
that's one of those comics that should never have been adapted because there's so many comic book like throwaway stuff that he put in that book on purpose.
But when they start getting into like it's the loom of destiny, like, oh my
god, not in the comic at all.
I know, I've read the comic.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
not in the
but it was just like
Are you kidding me?
He's just a bad guy.
Because like, I read the comic after I saw the movie.
Oh,
and so I saw the movie.
Great.
The first 45 minutes, an hour, I'm like, hey, this is pretty good. Like, yeah. I like this, you know? And then was like, what? Like, it's...
The Loom of Destiny.
It's all about a sewing machine? Yeah.
So, but this is the part...
Spoilers.
This is the part that's really weird. I know that there's a lot of weird stuff. But it's
Dan
like,
doesn't like it when you use that word.
Well, he says in certain cases you can
that's
use
true.
It.
He's not here. Yeah.
He's not here. But
it's weird that he's not here.
It's weird.
But the thing that is that's mind-boggling though about this is this huge series of books and this huge story, and this is the first movie ever told that is apparently from the books, but not in the books, and a different journey, whatever. But they've killed off the main villain.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they didn't, but they sure make it look that way.
But they don't do the thing after the credits at the end where he shakes.
They show you the body, and there's a bullet hole in the head.
Yeah. And it's not like, oh, there's no blood. It's PG-13. They can't.
Right.
It's not like, oh, but there was no... You can do... Some
can you do like, yeah, like some of them do like, some, like make it black.
Like demon blood.
Right, yeah.
But it's like they show him.
Tom has peed more in this movie than he did, or this podcast than he did the entire movie. Yeah.
Tom has peed for longer.
I owe you money for that soda, too.
I don't care.
I'm lying. I don't want to. He bought me a soda.
Oh.
I bought you a soda last time, too.
I know.
Yeah, all right. Dan's the only one left.
Because everyone saw it. Yeah. But yeah, so I thought it was very odd that they didn't even let him escape to fight another day. They
especially
didn't.
If he's this big bad that runs through these books.
Right. I don't know why. And apparently there's a bigger bad, which is
the Crimson
throughout
King.
The movie, the Crimson King. They keep showing these tags on buildings.
Did that not remind you of True Detective?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like even the symbol is
sure.
very
yeah,
similar.
I can see that.
Yeah.
But still, the Man in Black is supposed to be this huge bad guy, and I just can't imagine killing him off in the first movie. And if he's not really dead, you think that they would have, maybe his body would have moved or you would have seen something.
They would have done something similar to Fantastic Beasts, where the villain you thought was the villain,
yeah.
like, wasn't. You know what I mean? Like,
but,
that body, like, maybe that's somebody wearing a skin suit.
Yeah.
You know?
I think they straight up Joker in Batman 89'd him. I think he's gone.
That was always a weird choice to me. Why they kill the Joker in that movie? Like he's
think about franchises.
I guess that's
isn't
true.
That weird. The movies are just contained, one and done.
Yeah,
and like,
I'll just kill the Joker,
and no they probably deal. Figured like we can't afford to get Nicholson twice.
See what we had to. Yeah,
see what we had to pay him for this one.
He gigged us on the back end deal of this movie.
So
but yeah, and then the movie like,
but then basically
he takes
Roland
him under
ends
his wing,
up kind of adopting Jake,
kidnapping Jake.
Well, he has nothing left there. Let's be honest.
There are laws. Like the kid's mom, like
no, not when you go to a different dimension.
Yeah, went to a different dimension. Like
nobody's gonna notice that this kid's gone.
There are laws. He's just jumping from portal to portal, shooting demons in the head. But there are laws that you have to follow.
DFS can't keep track of what happens.
Yeah,
in
Yeah,
that's a good point.
They can't keep track of what happens in Bed-Stuy. You expect them to follow people through magic portals?
Yeah. Are you telling me this kid's in a different dimension? Perfect. He's
the
off by caseload.
Yeah.
The entire sequel.
The DFS officer just throws the case file through the portal.
Here, you deal with
them
it.
Them trying to hunt him down and get him just take him for kidnapping Jake. That's
right.
The whole
That's
sequel
all it
of the
is.
Movie.
So I will say there are some nods to other Stephen King stuff books in here. So when Roland and Jake are in the woods, they're at a carnival, and the carnival's name is
Pennywise.
That was a funny part that wasn't in New York, I will say, when there's a whole bunch of roller coasters, and Roland's like, these are ancient relics, nobody knows what they are, and Jake's like, this is an amusement park.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That was funny.
Yeah, and he's like, because he says, he's like, oh, it's an amusement park, they're ancient relics, and nobody knows what they are.
He just like looks
it's
at them.
It's an amusement park.
Kind of a reverse fish out of water.
But it was also very reminiscent of... San Diego is a whale's vagina. Agree to disagree.
But there's so when Roland is explaining what the Dark Tower is, he puts a spider into the thing, which I guess is Pennywise.
There's a scene where his New York friend is like playing with a car that
looks
to be
like
Christine.
There's a dog bark at one point where I was like, well, that was a strange, like when the cyber ninjas are attacking, there's a dog barking.
I think that was during the first demon at the playground.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Where you thought that maybe a dog was going to come out, but it ended up being...
Is it a giant rabies-ridden Rottweiler? All right, I'm cool with that. And then, obviously, the Jake has The Shining. So, I mean, there was...
Oh, the Overlook.
Oh, yeah. So there's a scene where Jake is talking to a therapist, and right next to... It's so weird. I remember this guy from Con Air. He's the CIA agent that loses his mind and gets shot on the airplane because he's stupid. But next to his desk, on a stand, there's a picture of the Overlook, and I was just like, "Well, that's cool." So I appreciate like that, I guess. And that was it.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing, really nothing else. It's super short. Like I said, if you don't know anything about the franchise, you might enjoy it when it comes to Amazon. But I wouldn't go to the theater and see it.
Yeah.
I would skip it. Wait for September and then put your money into that movie.
Yeah. I, you know, as someone that hasn't read the books and I'm interested and still am, I was before and I would like to read these. I just do not think it was very good.
Can
and
you do it without the second part?
Without, what
can you just do the kids? The kid story?
I mean, it doesn't have a conclusion.
There isn't a conclusion at the end of their story?
I mean,
they grow up and they're still
away.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they come back to the town.
Why are they coming back? Because somebody died?
I'm trying to remember what brings them back officially.
I think somebody dies.
Does it?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Anyway, I was wondering if, like, yeah.
Given the ending
of that second part of the movie, if they're just like, you know what? Let's just cut out the adult thing and not worry about that. But I guess if you need them to become adults to get
the official conclusion.
Yeah, because
that's the conclusion, is that the stuff, you know, that it all pays off years later. And
I gotcha. Kinda,
yeah, so anyway, there's the Dark Tower for you. So
big disappointment.
I would say it's like a swing and a foul ball. I wouldn't say swing and a miss.
I don't know about that.
A swing and a foul ball and a second strike. So you get another life at it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think if you enjoy the books, from what I'm hearing, it's a huge miss.
Yeah.
People are not happy with this. And their out was supposed to be, oh, well, he's got the horn and this is a different journey or whatever. But people aren't buying that. They're like, yeah.
You
should not have done it this way.
You screwed it up.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it for this episode. I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you want to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers or on our webpage. It's not as easy to talk to us there, but you can do it. RealSpoilers.com. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe, be the envy of all your friends. Read your review.
That's
and,
right.
And if you don't want us to review the emoji movie, write us a review or we're going to review it. If you do want us to review it, just do it. We're not going to.
I was like, where are we going with that?
You've really thought this through. Yeah. So anyway, that's it for this time. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Johnny interrupts Jackson to propose to June.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.